Welcome once again, Kakubri Book Week podcast. John Dean is with me today, and we are grilling the one and only Jerry Hassan, who is the author of Scotland Rising, The Case for Independence, along with many other books, which I'm sure he's going to tell us about very shortly. Jerry, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Tell us, let's go back in time. Tell us about your early life. Were you always an author?
Well, not always, obviously. You know, I was born.
born an author?
No. So I'm born in Dundee, and what I've got as a sense of memory is when I was about 8 in the early 70s, I had this feeling, awareness, that I had an advantage homework-wise, which is because I lived in a house with lots of books, reference books, books of fiction, various other, you know, reference books and so on. And so I realised this gave me an advantage. I could check facts, like what's the capital of, you know, Hungary or something, you know, and things like that. And it's not very surprising that my parents were both working class people, but, you know, had all sorts of optimism and hope about the future. My mum particularly had a sense that practically, like, books were one of the highest embodiments of civilization. They gave knowledge, they gave ideas, they gave enjoyment. And at an early age, introduced me to all sorts of people, Orwell, P.G. Woodhouse, Kafka, Graham Greene, etc. And then at the same time, I loved music. And that's where I got into, at school age, into writing first. So there was a community newspaper called, and it was a freebie, called Ardor News, that was published every second month, and I did the pop column in it. And I did it anonymously, right? And this is a funny little story, very brief story, is that it was distributed around free, and for one time, I was, for some reason, which I didn't normally do, just helping out by distributing around. And these group of toughies from my school class came around and tried to, like, swing at me in toughie way, missed, and then went away into the distance with copies of the newspaper saying, ah, let's look at what the music column says. And I realised as they were passing away, ah, I've got, seriously, at age 14, I've got an element of power over these guys. And that was a kind of, like, you know, we were talking earlier about Eureka, that was a Eureka moment for me. And then so I navigated around and became interested in politics and current affairs and ideas. And that's what I've written on for, 20, 30 years.
I'm sometimes quite appalled by the lack of knowledge that so many people have about politics. I find politics absolutely fascinating. I know you do as well. What is it as a writer that draws you to politics?
I think it's about, I mean, there's so, it's a great question, John. I mean, I love so many dimensions of politics. And while I have my own views, obviously, I really try to, like, understand people beyond the views that I have. So I like politics as ideas. I like politics as we have to make choices. I like that. I really love the idea of democracy, although I don't think we've gone very far enough across most of the Western world on it. But I also really like, I mean, like, take for instance the current state of Britain. Underneath all that's going on, there's an element of drama going on in theatre. Will Liz Truss survive as Prime Minister? She may not survive by the time this podcast comes out. But some people think those are just add-ons. Those are central to how power is contested. And lots of writers have written brilliantly on this. Hannah Arendt wrote brilliantly on this. And I'm really interested in that, but I'm also interested in the substance and the relationship with the substance to the drama.
Wow. So I'm just going to take Jerry back a second, because you talked about politics then. He talked about music starting at the first. Was there ever a point where you went, ooh, is it music, is it politics I want to write on?
That's a really good question as well. I have written on music. It's just that my sense is I'm a great believer in that if one writes at length on subjects, one should know what one's talking about and do the research and do the background. So for instance, I am a big Beatles fan. I've written pieces on the magnificent moving Beatles film last year, Get Back. I've written on McCartney turning 80, McCartney's relationship with Lennon. I've written on Frank Sinatra. I'm a huge Frank Sinatra fan. But to go really deeper on things, you need to put the time in. And, you know, in the future, I could see me considering writing a book on music, but I'd have to invest the time to become immersed in the subject.
So the immersion of politics came about by your involvement in it, that you started to write about it then?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, what really happens is I'm going around Dundee doing things that young people do, you know, playing football, thinking about girls, you know, and trying to act cool in various places and not succeeding. And what really happened was the Margaret Thatcher was elected in 1979. I don't really remember that because I'm doing my young things. Yeah. And it, as that climate began to darken, as I mean, we're talking about this now in politics, as her government became more and more unpopular, I became interested in those big choices that debate was about. Mm-hmm. The what she was trying to do, Tony Benn and the Labour Party, the breakaway from the Labour Party of the Social Democrats. And in fact, the Scottish question that we'll get on to later was actually quite dormant then after the 1979 referendum. And this just really interested me. And it took me into, because I really, underneath it all, I'm a naturally curious person that asks questions because my mum taught me this, really. I was interested in trying to understand the Tories because they were so successful, something that I've kept constant all my adult life. There's a sense of people don't like Tories or disagree with them quite often other them. I mean, it's true of lots of politics. And I was quite challenging of that just in myself. And, subsequently, I don't use the word hate really about anything in politics. I do not hate people I disagree with, even when they're sometimes, I mean, I say to people, I don't even hate Donald Trump and Trumpism. I think that phenomenon needs to be understood.
Certainly, sure does. So let's come forward then to Scotland Rising, the case of independence, because this is going to be featured at Kirkcudbright Book Week next year. This is obviously topical now, but when did you start this book? When did you start to sit down and piece it together? Was it after the last referendum, before the last referendum?
It's more, that's a really interesting when. I've always got ideas for books in my head, and there aren't very many books that are pro independence and trying to make the case for it but explore it in a detailed way. There's books that sort of, run around the subject a bit. And so when I was thinking about this, it was a little bit about what can I do that adds to the debate, that explores the case for independence and the case against, but then adds something. And then when you're thinking that, as we've talked about earlier, is you have to think about what audience is out there for this sort of book. Is there an audience that is beyond the kind of certainty of like independence, do or die, or the union forever, basically. And that's what I began to think about. And it's in the nature of not so much post-2014 or even post-2016 and Brexit. It's the fact that this is a live issue. This is a live issue about the future of Scotland, and it is constantly sort of like there, changing and evolving, but there's an element of stalemate and it being stuck as well. So I was wanting to push at that, basically.
And also you hear people saying, I'm not interested in politics, and we have elections and 70-60% turnout. That always astonishes me because it's about life.
I know. And of course, the referendum turnout was famously 85%, which is, given there's dead people on the electoral register, because they haven't been taken off yet. So the turnout of people who could vote was actually higher than 85%. That's the point.
It's the highest.
It's the highest we've ever seen in British history.
Absolutely. Incredible.
And I thought, and one of the things I came up with in the independence referendum when I was involved in that was I quickly became aware that the turnout was going to go through the roof. I didn't think it would get that high. And I came up with this term, the missing Scotland, which is about the people that hadn't voted in a generation. Mm. And I did focus groups in Glasgow and Dundee of those folk. And they nearly all said to a man and woman, I think apart from one person, people who've said things, I hate politicians, they're all, but I'm going to vote here. This is different. And that's what that showed. And this is a big live issue, but it could evolve in as our politics are evolving in Scotland. There's a number of ways in which it could evolve.
How's the book being received? Are you getting good reviews?
Yeah, I had a lovely review in Bella Caledonia last week from an academic called Ben Jackson, who's at Oxford University, who's actually written a really interesting book on the history of this debate. And he, I was very surprised when he wrote the review. Because this is not normal how you get a book. He wrote a review that kind of acknowledged in the trajectory of what I've already written over the last 20 years. So I was really, a bit surprised in a good way and humbled by that, because I do think, and this is someone I have got a long track record of, the intellectual terrain of Scottish politics and public life is quite small and not quite, in lots of places, generous, often just because of lack of space in a way, but then that combined with the partisanship. And I've always tried to kick at that by saying to people, via their opinions on this big question, there is a case for independence, it has work to do. There is a case for the union, it has work to do as well.
Well, it's absolutely fascinating. And I read that review as well, and it was a very good review. And it's going to be a very interesting evening when you come to Kirkcudbright and we talk about Scotland Rising and the case for independence. Just very quickly, how do you see that evening running? Because it would be very easy to get straight into a question and answer session, but you have to sort of present the book, I suppose, do you?
Yeah. It's a very good question. John will know this as well, that when I was writing the book and I finished it, you then realise what you've written. Because it doesn't correspond, you know, the underlying thread to the structure. And what I've written as a book, which is the way I've already done my first talks on it, because I think it then allows you to like get into some of the undergrowth of this debate and undercurrents, is there's a debate here about who. Who's this debate about? So one, well, it's about Scotland, but it then has a set of Russian dolls, because this is affects the rest of the UK, the corner we live in Europe, and it has geopolitical consequences, because where Scotland sits matters to the world, and it's a pretty risky world out there, and we sit in Northwest Europe, we have the corridors to the North Atlantic that really matter. There's then the what, because what we're talking about isn't just about independence, it's about Scotland's right to decide, but also what kind of society we want. And then there's the how, and by the how I mean not the process of whether we have an independence referendum or when, I mean it's how we engage with each other. And I think that I've increasingly come to the view since finishing this book that the how matters more than the who and the what. Yeah. And I think that's probably true. This is my little where I'm heading in life. I think that probably matters in most public issues. I think that really matters in issues where there is huge disagreement and incomprehension of various perspectives, you know, like the trans debate, for example, that I really try not to get into. But it is where there are voices of not just certainty, but real, I don't know, kind of real problem on both sides. I think we need to explore how we relate to each other and hear each other.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. You're right, that covers so many spectrums, in like, as you say, like the trans debate. I mean, there is a little bit of legislation on the table very shortly, I think, from the Scottish Government on that very issue, which I think, if I'm right, I might be wrong, Jerry, here, is looking at a three-month period for a 16-year-old and above to decide within that 3 months what sex they want to be, without it needing to be referred to any medical guidance. I think that's what I'm understanding it right.
There's a three-month period. I mean, I have not written a single piece on this ever, and I've kept my number of tweets to an absolute minimum on this. I bow to the knowledge of, say, my partner was head of Greater Glasgow Sexual Health Service, the whole region, and she managed trans services. So I know that there's real deep issues about this in terms of people who are going through, you know, real turmoil about their identities. And yet there then legitimate, absolutely concerns from women's rights groups as well. And some people pose this, I think it's a very fair point to say, we like to see ourselves as a society that there's an onward march of rights, but this is one of the first rights that involves it being seen by women's groups as in some way a challenge to them. And I think, why cannot that be debated in an appropriate way? I've seen people in the last few days really prominent people, Graham Norton, Billy Bragg, J.K. Rowling, knocking lumps out of each other, and I know they're all probably coming from the best, but I don't know what it adds.
We need to learn how to disagree with each other.
I do, and including on social media, you know, which is like, you know, can be a great place and has many, many different voices, but can be like a wild west at some points.
You're right, John. We have to learn how to disagree without, because what I think we've done is we've created a vocal minority and silenced the majority because they're frightened of putting their head, perhaps,
absolutely,
above the parapet,
and
saying something that might be used against them, or they might be shot down in flames, or
absolutely.
You know, it's a difficult one, isn't it?
It's fun. And one of the small things I've done in this book is because I had ran focus groups in the independence referendum, because I then went subsequently back to various waves of soft no voters and don't know voters. I think this is true of both the independence side and the pro-union side. You really need to understand the Scotland beyond your own opinion. I mean, it's just true of general life. So the people that think there's no case for the union on the independence side and vice versa, we need to listen to those different varieties. A friend of mine said to me, you know, long after the independence referendum, I quote it in the book, but it's a great quote. She said, as a pro-independence, she said, there's no such thing as people that voted no. There's only There's no such thing as no voters. There's only people that voted no. And I just love that as an insight, yeah. because to allow, not to label people, because a large part of closing down debates is labelling and then silencing. We know you, you're a no voter, or you're a yes voter, or you're a separatist, or you're a yoon, that dread word. And I really, really don't like it. And I really always try, as much as I can humanly, to kick back against it.
Yeah, well, we're so looking forward to Scotland Rising, the case for independence, coming. What day is it on, John, and where? He says
Thursday, isn't it? It's on the 3rd. Is it on the 3rd?
Is it on the 3rd? I think it's on the 3rd at the Garrett, isn't it?
It is. It's the 3rd at the... 3rd at the Garrett.
Thank you.
3rd of February at the Garrett. Jerry
3rd of March.
March. Did I say February then? Sorry. Jerry Hassan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.